还是我和那边同事那边儿，
哎呀，
we do not boast of or do not speak of our love for God. So shame of it, as there's no right to even speak of it. Certainly, do not run around boasting with signs and things of how much we love the Lord. Scripture tells us that. John said, here is love. Not that we love people, that we love them. Is our love compared to his? It's the love of God. So we don't like to speak of it. Plus, believers are so up and down, so hot and cold at times, so times when we feel like, yes, feel genuine affection, and other times it's hard to find it. But now, I would agree that if you were pressed, I asked each of you, like our Lord did, and he looked at Peter and died. Now, Peter had just denied the Lord three times. Terribly. He was a coward. He was ashamed to own that he even knew. He started cussing. And the Lord, little God, gathered them all together and looked over Peter right now and asked him point blank. Peter didn't have to say. Nor did he not believe that he said, on the day of the child, yes, Lord, he fell. And let me say this, Peter's the one who wrote, blessed are the day whom have you not seen. You haven't seen it. Peter's the one who wrote that. Peter said, we have an advantage. John said, we have. The Lord knows that. There's nobody in the room that has seen him personally, heard his audible voice, felt his actual touch. Nobody can do that. Limitations of our knowledge of Him and our numbers. He knows. I'm not a dog. How much does a dog know his master? Not much at all, but God's being around him. About all that dog knows about the master, that's what I want to be. So, what I'm trying to say is we can't none of us can't speak in too glowing terms about our love for the Lord. We just don't know him that well. And I don't want to listen to anybody talk ourselves. You see what I'm saying? Let me say this to some of you who are either young, getting this relationship, or are a little maybe unsure. If you love this gospel, what's the gospel about? You don't cry. That's a good sign. If you love this gospel, all we do here is speak about God, don't you? Well, so if you love what you're hearing, and you come here because you want to, and you enjoy what you hear, and not sure of yourself and your relationship, yet you love being here to those who love this. And love what you're hearing. Pretty good sign. You might just be a puppy of it, you see. And one of these days you'll go into an old dog. You still won't know what you want. All right. Let's get into it. what it says, Christ is speaking. Christ is speaking. Verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon. Any doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ is very God, very God? None. People don't know him and don't believe him and say he never said he was God. Who knows? He didn't say that to them. How will run around and think that this is not that they're God? But every one of his people knows they know he's God. Right there he says, brother, he's talking. Christ is talking. He said, I am. The rose of Sharon. I am the rose of Sharon. This place of Sharon was a valley, a beautiful valley, known for its beauty and its beautiful green pasture. This is where, interestingly, David used to feed his flocks. That's good. It's a rose, road, right in the midst of that valley. The rose of Sharon. The rose, you gardeners, is anything, any flower on earth. There's a lot of people talking. They're all beautiful. Not them all. But really, for beauty, for fragrance, is there a flower on earth next to God? That's fragrance. That's beautiful. How many varieties of roses? How many roses are there? You know, honestly, there are thousands. And that represents Christ's beautiful character. A rose for beauty and fragrance, nothing more beautiful. Christ is called, y'all get a lovely one, savor, sweet smelling savor. He says, I'm the lily of the valley. I'm the lily of the valley. So Christ is a lily. Rose is a very exquisite. Rose is a very cultivated thing. You know that? Rose takes great care and cultivation. Rose, anybody can grow rose. Have you tried? Takes a master gardener to truly grow good roses. People have tried roses. Christ is that altogether lovely rose grown by God himself. But yeah, he says, I'm a lily. Just a common old lily. Lily's a beautiful one to the garden. Lilies are beautiful. This lily that he's talking about, the lilies that grew over there in the Middle East, were predominantly twice. Which that's the lily. So I'm the lily of the valley. I'm a lily, and in the midst of the valley, it's a common Christ, the Son of Man, and for the pure. Now, I love this story, this illustration. It's true that lilies over in this particular area of the Middle East were very fragrant than sand. Those lilies were very fragrant. And they grew in such abundance that they covered the fields. Like, you see, going out on the highway, these lilies that they grow in the midst of the median, you know, but even more dense than that. They were huge, and some of them were. Way over your head, these lilies. Beautiful. As far as I can see, it is down. Beautiful lilies. And the fragrance, they say, when the wind will blow, just cover that valley. Well, these lilies were so fragrant, rabbits. Animals of prey knew that if they could just hide themselves in those lilies, that the fragrance of those lilies and the grace cover of them would hide them from their pursuit. Dogs. Cops. That's it. It's an illustration of it. Christ is a little bit of a valley. For common man with beauty and fragrance and compassion can run and hide. I'm the lily of the valley. And look what he says about us. Now, Christ is talking about us, verse 2. He's talking about the lily, verse 2. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Where's the daughter? He's the son. We're going to see that. I had a run through the phone. And that evening, he takes her out to dinner. And then, I'll sit up and take some lessons here. I'm serious. That evening, he takes her out and lines the boundary. He brought me to the banquet now. You see the picture here, Sam? This actually happened. Solomon. No wonder he had a palace of life. Now, ladies. Pretty warm like this. But that evening, he takes her out and lines the boundary and moves her even further. And later, she's going to see a minute. She gives me all the magic money. Now, this is a practical lesson for young would-be cousins, for old want-to-be-better husbands. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives. Okay. That's Christ. This is a picture. This is Christ. How he loves his own. How he treats. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, this lesson is for me. If none of you men need it, you probably don't. I do. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. There's no such thing. Listen to me. I grew up in Fort County, Kentucky, and they didn't live in business from that in Franklin County. Again, I mean, if you live there, you wouldn't even know you moved there. Same people, same men, same group. There's no such thing as a not trouble. That's a good job. Anybody who's macho is not. You hear me? Yeah, I hear it. That's part of this book. Macho means, you know, proud, overbearing, rule the line from never emotional, never sensitive, never tender, kind, demanding. But you know what macho is. That's not the same. And Christ came in. True Christ got men. Listen to this statement. True Christ got men are just like him. That's the reason I implore you, young ladies, unmarried young ladies, to find a man. Don't even think about getting married. Till you find a man who knows and loves Christ. True Christ-like man is like Christ. He's tender. He's kind. He's thoughtful. He's loving. He's romantic. This is Christ, man. He's romantic. He drew us. What's the scripture say now? He drew us with the hat. Cords of love. Cords of man. He moved, not the story of Boaz. Don't you know that story of Boaz moved? Fancy, he romanced her and moved her and cooed her and bruised her and said, Peter, she led in his face. And a true Christ like man, a true man, is a tender man, is a kind man, is a thoughtful man, is a loving man, is a romantic. Now, we've got to get this through our heads. That said, start with me. Maybe you have to get over the door before we even start. But anyway, it is Christ. Well, maybe I'll work with some of you tonight, you know, who are for their seeds. It's all been for me. Start enough for you, I hope. But if in Christ, Christ, a new creature, when old things pass away, all these old notions about manhood. We don't know who man is until we know Christ. Then we start meeting up in Christ without man. I don't care what the world says a man is. It's not man. Is it? He's the only man that ever lived. The man who was God and gave his man to be. Stand the only one. That was he. He was the love of the man he did that. He never got mad. So, the most manly man is the man that knows God. He brought us. Hasn't he brought us and brought his providence? The house of feasting? That's what he calls us that. A banqueting house. A banqueting house. Place of feasting. Blessed is the man who bowed to the sin. Calls us to the first church. Solomon didn't do this for every woman, but he chose them. They just eat together. That's what we're doing. Eating together. Wine and
his soul. Maybe his soul is great.
Coming home, remember, he tried to have a seat in Paris and come all the way back to Richmond in Tennessee. That had been a little Tennessee mountain broke too. Well, he was good for what he said. What is it about the parks in Tennessee? Anyway, and I found one down there and I had to come home away from her. I was like, sick in it, literally. And getting bitter of it. Sick in it, Mom. Love is an amazing thing. It's a you can't describe it. True love is I tried, here's my attempt. It's uncontrollable. It's undeniable. It's irrepressible. It's maddening, gladdening, mystifying. Love. Isn't it? Now everyone has been sick with it. It makes you that crazy. What did you say?
400 miles.
You got 400 miles and I'm sick for 4 days. Fantastic. It's true. It's true. True love, that's when you and I have read something. Says all things in love can be excused. All manner of behavior. What's wrong with him? Does he know I'm here? No. He only has eyes for her. And all silliness aside, when a person starts becoming the manner of the Christ and the gospel, it's you can't put your finger on it. Something's happening. What's wrong with him? Or her? Sick of self. Sick of love. True love. And it only goes deeper. It doesn't say it's stupid. But it does go deeper. Yes, it does. Maybe you are right. It's faith. It's maddening. But it grows deeper. It does. It never fades. And on a serious thing, God's love for us is amazing. It's amazing. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things of God has been done. You just don't know who it is. You just don't know. That's the reason there's going to be silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. That's what it said. At some point, when I believe that all the saints are gathered together, it says we'll be silent for the space of 30 minutes. Why? So, have you ever been brought to silence? I don't say. I'm speechless. But it stands that way when we think. And all you do is look and see. He saw it. And it's a miracle he left the eyebrow. But that's what it's going to be for all of God's people when we're finally there. When we're finally there together and behold him. And feel and touch. You know? That's just not natural. You just don't leave concrete, visible things, tangible things, to unseen, unclear faith. Faith is for faith. It's not natural
to willingly leave this life and know you love with absolute confidence and a smile on your face, go and see somebody from Jesus. Human beings, this is the reason that we want to hold on to life as long as we can, and men and women who are dying, breath, you know, want to just hang on, but I'll leave here, but not possible. That's a miracle. Because they really do. He puts his love in there, and they won't see him. They know that the part to be a Christ is far away. His left hand teaches me doctrine. His right hand, his left hand holds my head. His right hand holds my, embraces me. My open life be without an embrace. Verse 7. I charge you, though ye daughters of Jerusalem, serve not up, nor work not up till he please. This is how, what it is I believe he's fallen asleep in her arm. She just takes that. He had to look down at the one that she loves, lying in her sleep, her husband or wife or daughter or son or someone who you know, and just want to. That's what Jesus is wishing. Don't bother me. I'm going to serve this. And isn't that how you feel sometimes upon hearing the gospel? Come in this place, and it's so special and so sweet, and you think, oh, don't let me think about me now. It's just so good. And you resent all intrusions. You see the city of Christ in worship. Verse 8. Alright, so they parted. Not exactly. You see where the time, this is about to be the time is taking place. What has happened is they have parted and they've gone different ways. And now he's returning. And so it is that whenever we come to hear the gospel, we must part. We part and go out in the world, and the time when Christ returns, we return the same. Verse 8, of course. He's calling again. We pick on Mary, I said. And she answered back when you don't come back to hear the gospel again. And the Lord is always for us. The Lord is my beloved again. Behold, and this is what he says, when he makes himself real to you, behold, he comes. How about that? Behold, he comes. He's coming. Yes, he is. Why is this message so real and dear and precious and sweet and all that you need? Why? Because he's real. He comes. He's coming. And look at this, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. You know, that 400 miles, how long did it take you? Very much so. Half an hour? Not very long. 7.5 hours. He was 45 all the way. It seemed like 7 minutes, but no obstacle. In other words, in love, and he went over the mountain. When there's love, no obstacle. It's too great to get to those kind of people. And all the obstacles. And I'm not trying to get you to pray, but this is going to happen. This is an obstacle. And no obstacle was too great for our Lord to endure to get to these people. He went over the mountain, not somehow. He'll call it all that. Skip. What are you doing, skip? Little girl about to skip. You still skip? I'm picking on the whole thing. You still skip? What the hell's doing that? Why? Happy. Good job. Skip. He'll lose my daughter. Well, the scripture said in Hebrews 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the law of death, not Sinai. Still, he knew Christ literally climbed the highest mountain. Isn't that beautiful? Right? He was skipping on the hills. Skipping. Oh, my. Verse 9. Now, Christ, not the other. Is like a rower in one heart. He's like a rower in one heart. Remember, he was compared to having bug's eyes. A bow. He made a deer, a roe, fawn. Is there anything more beautiful and precious, son? Maybe a newborn horse, yeah, but they look just like a bow. Look just like a fawn, don't they, Alice? Isn't it? Oh. Oh. You go out to see, you go out to hold a newborn from the ground. It's just, Bell's eyes, Bell's eyes. She compares him to tender, sweet, pure, lovely animal. Love with no guile, no meanness, no beer. A bow, a palm, it's just not a That's right. That's right. But look, he says, he stands behind the wall. He looked forth at the wind, showed himself through the lattice. Behind the wall, where there's a veil, he's partially hidden from our view. We can't see him clearly. And he's, we look through a window, say, we see through the glass. Again. And through a lattice, it said, we're great way to finish Christ's servant, so come unto me. All you laborers, everybody, come unto me. Come be out from among them. Come by. This is what he does. You know what this is? Not only a banqueting house, but this is a refuge, a place where he says, come back. A desert place. He makes his heart go out. It's far from the melting crowd. Together with the rest of the crowd, he says, no, it's not bad. It's all right out here. And if he's a good under shepherd, he'll be a problem. Follow me in Christ. Come unto me. Every day we're bidden this. Every day by Christ we're bidden come away. Come apart. Verse 11. He says, hey, look, this is good, man. We all need this. We need this. Brother John brought this out, and it was just, come away, man. He says, the load of the winter's past, rain is over and gone. Our Lord promised this back at the flood. He said, hey, recover the land.
And they had nothing to travel. Nothing to travel here.
sons and not the goats of the bad heaven, these sons. But they left all that for trouble. Everybody hate them.
Thank you.
comfort her, but now she speaks in conclusion, and see, now she has some confidence. She can say with great confidence after such words of love and reassurance, not love, it's not. How about you? Thank you.